first and foremost for us as we kick off the 5 o'clock hour football talk. It is the Game Plan, brought to you by ClearPoint Capital, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears. Call Mike Toole at 307-7718. And by Creative Print Services, whatever your business needs, Creative Print Services is here to help. Maine, Rhode Island football, Bob Lucy, ready to lay it all out for us. How are you, Robert?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Very well, thank you. Ready for Senior Day tomorrow, the final home game of the regular season for the Black Bears, and for the fourth week in a row, two words, championship mentality.
Yes, I've heard a lot of championship mentality, and Maine has been doing just that the last 3 weeks. So excited about the Senior Day game tomorrow.
Yeah, it's an interesting game, a CAA matchup, and I don't care what the records are. We're Rhode Island 2-8, 0-6 in the CAA. That doesn't mean a whole lot. They're always a tough team, despite their lack of success at Alphonse Arena in the last couple of decades. Alphonse Stadium, I should say.
Yes. No, they haven't done so well, Rich. They haven't beaten Maine in Orono since 1998, and that was an 18-17 win by Rhode Island. Maine has won 12 straight games in this series and 17 of the last 18 games. But this is a Rhode Island team, as we saw last year, when Maine won 38-36 on a 39-yard Kenny Doak field goal as time expired. They've got a lot of firepower. And you look at their losses this year, Rich, they've lost four CAA games by 8 points or less. A 3-point loss to New Hampshire, a 4-point loss to Stony Brook. They lost to Albany by 7 and Delaware by 8, and that was an overtime loss against Delaware.
Not a lot of mystery about what they'll try and do tomorrow offensively. They're averaging under 92 rushing yards per game, but 312 in the air.
Yeah, and they've got some outstanding receivers, Rich. And Vito Piori has played well this year. He's leading the league, their quarterback, averaging 290.7 yards passing per game. He's an excellent player. Maine saw him last year. They've also started to put into the mix a true freshman, Darius Perantis, and he's 16 of 29 for 219 yards, two touchdowns, and he's been a little bit of a runner for them. So we may see some of that dual threat action with Perantis if he gets in tomorrow. But Parker is, I think, arguably one of the best receivers in FCS football over the last 4 years. He's got 206 career receptions for 3,281 yards and 29 touchdowns. This year, he has got 1,045 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns, 71 receptions. And his first cousin, Isaiah Coulter, and both these guys, by the way, are 6'3". Coulter's got some big numbers, too. He's got 60 receptions this year for 953 yards and 8 touchdowns. So both of those guys, Parker and Coulter, have got the height, have got the speed, and have got the athleticism to really cause problems with their abilities as wide receivers to get down the field and to make those catches in that tightly contested area with a defensive back, get those 50-50 balls.
Last week, Maine did a good job putting pressure on Albany quarterback Jeff Undercuffler. You think it'll be the same type of approach this week, trying to get in there and make things difficult for Priori and try to get him out of the pocket?
Yeah, I think that's going to be key. Maine has got to be able to put pressure, Rich, on the quarterback. They've got to be in that attack mode as they have been. Over the last two games, Maine has forced 5 turnovers. They've made 11 sacks, and they've held their opponents in check on the ground. Their last two opponents only averaging 70 yards rushing. And I think the formula for Maine really is they've got to stop that ground game, and then they've got to turn the heat up on Priori, who is not a runner. He doesn't like to run a lot. And when you look at his numbers, he's got 31 rushes for negative 89 yards this year. So I think if Maine can stop that ground game, as they have the last couple of weeks, and turn the heat up on Priori, they're going to cause some problems. And, you know, Maine has got to do a good job, again, forcing turnovers. Over the last three games, Maine has scored 51 points off 7 turnovers by their opponents. And that's really given their offense great field position and allowed them to get some points that they might not have otherwise gotten, Rich. Rhode Island has turned the ball over a league-high 19 times this season, including 13 turnovers in their last three games. They had four turnovers in the first half against William & Mary last week.
We're talking with Bob Lucy on the game plan here on Downtown. Offensively for the Black Bears, it's the same formula. Be able to run the ball effectively, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're racking up 300 yards on the ground, but it does mean sticking with the run, and they'll do it tomorrow against a team that seems primed for it, Rhode Island giving up 238 rushing yards per game.
Yeah, and William & Mary and their win over Rhode Island last week had a whopping 462 yards on the ground and seven rushing touchdowns. So I think Maine will look to try to establish that ground game early as they have and get the balance in their offense. Right now, over the course of the season, Rich, Maine is averaging 34 rushes and 33 passes per game. So they've got some good balance going right now. And I think if you look at some of the numbers over the last three games, Maine has averaged in their winning streak of three games 43 carries for 149 yards rushing per game. And Rhode Island, on the flip side, in their last three games, allowed an average of 287 rushing yards per game, and they've given up a total of 13 rushing touchdowns in those last three games.
The Black Bears have really shown the capability of having a big play offense, particularly since redshirt freshman Joe Fagnano took over as quarterback after the injury to Chris Ferguson. And you put out on Twitter some incredible numbers this week on the average length of Joe Fagnano's touchdown passes.
Yeah, it's jaw-dropping, really. He's got 1,428 yards passing and 14 touchdowns over the last five games. Average length of his 14 touchdowns is 44 yards per touchdown pass, including the three longest touchdown passes in Maine football history, a 90-yarder, an 88-yarder, and an 87-yarder.
Now, Rhode Island's got some experienced guys back there in their secondary. Rashad Dickerson, who's got a couple of interceptions, five pass breakups. Mamadou Mbaye, who's got five interceptions on the season. But I don't believe they have anybody who can stay with Ernest Edwards, because I don't know if anybody in the country has anyone who can stay with Ernest Edwards.
Yeah, I don't think so, Rich. And we certainly have never seen anybody catch Ernest Edwards once he catches the ball and he's got a step on somebody. He's just been electric, Ernie, as his nickname would imply. 134 career receptions for 2,523 yards and 26 touchdowns over his career. And he's averaged, Rich, over his career, 18.8 yards per reception. This year, he's leading the CAA, averaging 24.5 yards per reception. That's second best in the country as well.
And he only needs 90 yards tomorrow to set an incredible career record that's been held at Maine for three decades.
Yeah, Sergio Hebra has the record right now, 2,612 receiving yards over his career. Likely Ernest Edwards will get that tomorrow, if not the next week. He's really picked up the pace, Rich, over the last five or six games. He has been spectacular. And it's not just the receiving. It's his ability to throw touchdown passes to keep people guessing. He's got five touchdown passes now on his career. He leads all of FCS football in kickoff return average, 31.3 yards per kickoff return. And he's just a ticking time bomb out there waiting to explode if he gets his hands on that ball.
Is it important for Maine tomorrow to get out to an early lead in this one and maybe deflate this Rhode Island team that's thinking upset?
Yeah, I think it is. I really do. You know, Maine got out to that 28-0 lead against Elon last week, and that set the tone. And, you know, you look at this Rhode Island team, Rich, we know they've got good players, particularly at the skill positions on offense, and they can put up a lot of points. But they really took it on the chin at William & Mary last week, 55-19. As I mentioned, they gave up 462 yards on the ground. And I think if Maine can really jump on them early and then just establish that ground game and try to control clock, that would be a good formula for Maine's success. And I think that they have the ability to do that. I would look for a guy like Joe Fitzpatrick, and also Emmanuel Reed, to have a good game tomorrow, trying to establish that ground game and keep the clock moving. It's an interesting fact that both of these teams are among the leaders in time of possession. Maine averaging 31 minutes and 53 seconds time of possession per game, and Rhode Island the exact same number.
Now, I can't add any more gray hairs, I don't believe, but I don't want Coach Nick Charlton to have any, and what might help that is to cut down on those penalties tomorrow for Maine.
Well, that might be a good idea. Maine right now has more penalty yards than any team in the league, 82.2 penalty yards per game. They had 11 penalties for 118 yards last week against Elon. And not that I want to bring this up, Rich, but at Rhode Island last year, Maine had 16 penalties for 197 yards in that game. And that was a wild affair, as you remember, last year when Maine and Rhode Island hooked up. It was a standing room only crowd at Kingston. First time we've ever seen that. Maine won the thriller 38-36, but they did it the hard way. Maine outscored Rhode Island 24-6 over the final 20 minutes of that game, and it was a white-knuckle ride with lots of penalties.
I don't believe Maine needs any help to make the postseason. I think if they win the last two, they're in. But as we look at the schedule this weekend, there are some games that could benefit Maine. One of them down in Harrisonburg, where James Madison plays host to Richmond. Richmond may be out anyway, but if they lose to James Madison tomorrow, that's loss number six on the season, and they would definitely be out.
Yeah, I would think so, Rich. If they lose to James Madison tomorrow, they'd be still 4-3 in the conference, but 5-6 overall, and that would be tough to get in, obviously, with six losses. I think another very interesting game tomorrow is New Hampshire at New Albany and how that game might play out. New Hampshire, up until last week's drubbing at James Madison, had played great defense. And it'll be interesting to see how their pass defense and their front seven match up against that Albany team that's really put up a lot of yards, particularly passing, this year on offense. And I'm going to be very interested to see how that one plays out. Albany usually plays very well at home. Under Cuffler's got it going. But if New Hampshire can stymie their ground game, as Maine did, I think they've got a pretty good chance to win that game.
And oddly enough, I think it's probably in Maine's best interest to have New Hampshire win that game.
Absolutely. I think it would be, Rich, for sure, because that would give you Albany three conference losses. And should they be in a position where we're kind of trying to decide, is it you, Albany, or is it Maine that goes? Well, Maine should have that head-to-head in conference. Both teams have three losses. Maine beat them head-to-head.
And in the always unpredictable CAA, I think a very interesting game down at Williamsburg. Towson needs to win out, likely, to make the playoffs. They're at William & Mary, a team that's playing much better football the last few weeks.
Yeah, you're right, Rich. I think William & Mary is going to give them all they want and more. They've got their ground game going, and they've really got now, Rich, a three-headed monster. Bronson Yoder, 14 rushes for 144 yards, averaged 10.3 yards per rush against Rhode Island last week. We saw flashes of him as a true freshman. He's a real good-looking player for William & Mary. Owen Wright, 12 rushes for 123 yards and a touchdown. He averaged 10.2 yards per rush against Rhode Island last week. And then the quarterback. The dual-threat quarterback, Hollis Mathis, ran for 82 yards and two touchdowns for William & Mary last week against Rhode Island. So they've got some weapons, and they can take the game to the ground and wear you down. And that will be a very interesting matchup with Towson. And it's a home game for William & Mary. Fair warning on that one.
Absolutely. Well, we'll enjoy watching the scores tomorrow and seeing the Black Bears play host to Rhode Island in the Senior Day game tomorrow at 12 noon. Robert, thanks as always for breaking down the game plan for us, and I'll see you bright and early tomorrow.
Okay, Rich. My pleasure. Sounds good.
Bob Lucy, the game plan on Downtown, brought to you as always by Creative Print Services. Give them a call at 947-2250 or visit online at creative-ps.com, and by Sea Dog Brewing Company, the home of the Black Bear Coaches Shows, Front Street in Bangor.